Okay, so here we go. We've got our first guest of the hour, Tim Parody. He's the future of work correspondent at Business Insider. And we are going to talk a little bit about what to do in your job search, especially if you're earlier in your career. Tim, are you there?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I was a little nervous that Liam might have scared you off, but it seems like that didn't happen. So give me a, ironically enough, I had started and built and grown a staffing and recruiting firm, in the first part of my career for a little over a quarter century, about 25 years. So I have a little bit of insight, but definitely want to hear what you're writing about and what you're seeing.
That's great. Well, you don't need me for this. You know the drill, what I'm going to say, that, you know, networking is important for people throughout their career, but particularly early in your career when you may not have a lot of experience to fall back on, it can help overcome, you know, that experience gap for a lot of people who are looking for that first big job, maybe after college or something like that.
So, Tim, if you're 22 years old, and are you networking with other 22-year-olds, or who are you supposed to be networking with?
It's a great point. Well, so if you're coming out of college, as an example, at that age, a lot of schools have a career office, pretty much all of them. You know, you can go there and say, hey, look, I want to go into this field. Are there alums from this school who might be at, you know, XYZ company that I want to talk to? So that's one really helpful way. One college recruiter I spoke to said, you know, we love the frequent flyers. They love the people who show up all the time, not just 2 days before graduation, but the people who are there regularly to form relationships and with others outside of outside the school. So that would be a really good place to start. And then, you know, just reaching out to folks on LinkedIn and other ways and say, hey, I noticed you did this, amazing career pivot, or you did this, you know, you took an interesting turn here. I'd love to have 10 or 15 minutes of your time. You know, could we chat about it? And I think a lot of professionals tend to be pretty gracious with their time toward, you know, kids who are just coming out of school, because they kind of think back on when they were in a similar situation trying to break in. So a lot of people, I think, can be pretty generous with, you know, even a quick phone call or some sort of hopping on a video call for 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think I totally agree with you. And the other thing is, so I have three kids. Two are out of college, 25 and 23, and another one who's going to be a senior who's 21. And so in which is probably a blessing and a curse to have a dad who is in the jobs business. But one of the things I told them is networking isn't going to an event and meeting people and thinking you're going to get a job. Networking is always being ready to talk about who you are, being conversational, being able to listen as much as you speak, and making a good impression. But then the real part of it is following up. And so a tip that I've given, you know, my kids and other recent college graduates is you got to create, if you don't have access to a database, Outlook or Google, using that, just use an Excel spreadsheet and make a list of everybody you meet, what date you met them, how you met them, where you met them, and then their email, and if you have their phone number, so you can see how you're building that up. But if you meet somebody today on July 23rd and you never talk to them again, you're not building a network. You just met somebody.
Right. That's a great point. You're absolutely right. And it's something one person told me, said something to the effect of networking is a muscle that you have to flex throughout your entire career. And the time when you're looking for a job is you're going to be doing that more. But to your point, you can't just meet somebody one and done and then think that's a connection for life. You have to maintain that connection. And it doesn't have to be, someone else said, you know, it doesn't have to be fancy steak dinners and things like that. It could just be checking in with folks, you know, replying meaningfully to a post on LinkedIn more than just a thumbs up or something. And just keeping that connection warm, essentially, so that you have a tie that you can actually go to somebody and say, hey, I was thinking about going after this job. Do you have any thoughts? Or whatever it might be, you can at least, you feel like it's not entirely out of the blue.
Well, I think the other thing that a lot of kids in their early 20s, adults do too, but in their early 20s don't think about is their siblings' friends. And you could have friends of your siblings who are 1, 2, 3, 5 years, 10, maybe even more out of college that already have it. So to make yourself conversational with those folks as well. And then also, when you were going to college, a lot of people are we're all judgmental at a certain point at certain times, right? But the people we went to college with who maybe you thought were, you know, wasting away and doing too much partying or what have you, 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, those people could be in a position to help you get a job. Everybody hits their stride at a different time. And I think that too often people fall in this subset of who can help me today in networking. And I think that's a short-term view. What do you think?
Absolutely. And I think that's also why, you know, I think a lot of people, when you talk about networking, are turned off by it because it feels, salesy. It feels like you're pumping somebody for some sort of favor, and then it's transactional maybe. And it just kind of there's an ick feel to it. So I think to your point about if you're actually maintaining these relationships and it's not just a one-off thing, then it does feel more like a relationship where you feel like, I'm able to go to this person and ask them for a few minutes of their time, or ask them for, to make a connection with, an instructor to someone else at an organization where you might want to work that they know. So you're right. It's absolutely a thing that, your network is bigger than you think it is in many cases. So you could just want to make sure you try to maintain that.
I agree. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show and talking to us about networking. And I really believe that in addition to doing a good job at the job you currently have, staying in touch with people is the key to the next job. So thanks for being with us, Tim. Have a great week.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Yep. I'll tell you, I see some of these football contracts. They're in a union. I'll tell you, the amount of money those guys are making. Maybe we can talk about that with Robert Chanik. Robert, are you there?
I'm here.
So now, if I'm not mistaken, because I've been reading you for a long time, Robert, you're a Northwestern Wildcat, are you not?
I went there for graduate school, yeah.
Are you a fan of the team or not? Don't care.
Yeah, I'm a casual fan, I'd say.
Are they going to be good? What do you think? Do you think the post-Fitz era is going to be a good one for us?
I think, not my area of expertise specifically, but I think they've been better than I think people were expecting, that's for sure.
It's definitely not the 1980s.
That's for sure.
Well,
I remember writing a story, I forget what I think it was about the new stadium, and got to tell that anecdote of when the fans carted tore down the goalposts and threw them in Lake Michigan after breaking like the longest college losing streak in history or something.
Right. People forget that about was, that.
But, you know,
it was unbelievable. I mean, I was a kid growing up in the suburbs, but I remember that, and they were the laughing stock of college football.
Yeah, no, they've been a whole different level of game for years. But yeah, people that are old enough remember when they just barely ever won a game.
And now they have that beautiful stadium. But the reason we wanted to have you on tonight is to talk about ComEd. So you wrote an article on the bill rate increases and what's going on. If you want to talk a little bit about that,
sure. A couple things are going on. ComEd has been warning for a while that the supply charge, which is actually sort of a pass through charge that customers pay, it's not how they make their profit on what's called delivery, but the supply is the actual electricity. That there's an annual auction. It's called a capacity auction, where ComEd, kind of buys its energy for the next year at a wholesale level. Last year, the price went way up, and they have been warning for a month or two that don't be surprised in June, the average bill is going to go up $10.60 a month because of this increased supply cost. But that's an average, and the rate did go up, and then as most everyone knows in Chicago, we had an incredibly hot June. It was the sixth hottest June on record. And so I was curious, what did it actually do? And if anyone's looked at their bill, their June or July bill, odds are it went up a lot more than $10.60. So I kind of wanted to get to the bottom of that first and foremost and see what was happening out there. And there's sort of a second element to this thing is the annual supply auction took place Tuesday, and we now know that the supply price went up even more. And so next June, the rate for, electricity supply is going to go up even more. So it's not a pretty picture.
I mean, isn't there, I talked about this the other night. So the former CEO was just convicted in the Madigan scandal. Like,
right.
Maybe if they were focused on doing the right thing for our customers, I understand the dynamics that exist with energy production and where we are as a society and the amount of usage in a hot summer. But it's like, let's start doing things the right way with the right people for the right reasons and see if we can give ordinary Chicagoans a little bit of a break here.
Well, there's a lot of sort of balls in the air. There's legislative efforts to try to, cap it, pushing for alternative energy sources that might increase the supply. One of the things that the PGM, which is the company in Pennsylvania that supplies the wholesale electricity to Illinois and 12 other states, I believe, you know, they and ComEd have both said that it's been hard to get to keep up with demand, and demand is driven by everything from data centers and, you know, technology and all sorts of things that we are increasing our usage of electricity, you know, across all kinds of, you know, businesses and residential uses. So they're saying that we don't, that the old school generators can't keep up with the demand, and that the new stuff isn't coming online quickly enough to fill that void. And that's why, you know, demand exceeds supply and the price goes up. That's the simple thing they're saying. But there's legislation pending in you know, our state. A number of governors filed an action to try to get PJM to cap the price this year, and it actually went through. And as high as the price is going to be for next year, it could have been even higher. But there was some regulation to keep from jacking it up too much. So
it's funny, yeah, because you see the we're reading all about these data centers for AI uses so much energy that we've got to be able to have that. And so, you know, it's either you want to lower your electricity bill by $100 a month, or you want to be able to make another cat meme using ChatGPT.
Right, exactly. And by the way, there was a little thing, I don't know if you saw it, kind of in the story. There was a lot to the story, but the interesting little side note about the cost of electricity. I talked to this company called Whisker Labs that puts these monitors in a million homes across the country to check and make sure concerns about outages and surges and fires and so such. And sort of as an incidental thing, it's able to monitor the quality of the electricity coming in from the grid. And in a nutshell, it said that the ComEd territory had the lowest quality, the worst quality grid in the country. And these guys put a dollar figure on it and said that alone, they call it, it's kind of a noise, a harmonic distortion that comes in, is costing customers an additional $500 a year because of the inefficiency of our electric grid. ComEd, you know, questioned it, denied it, in essence, or said they said they couldn't verify the methodology of it, but just adds another element to the pain that everyone's feeling, that we might be paying even more because of the quality of the grid that we draw our power off of.
Well, I'll tell you, wasn't this an uplifting conversation, Robert?
Yeah, we should have stuck with Northwestern. I'm sorry. Yeah,
we should have talked about the football.
Probably more fun.
In all seriousness, thanks for coming on. We'll let's everybody make sure we turn the air conditioner a little bit hotter at night when we go to sleep and save some money. So thanks for being with us, Robert.
You bet. Good to talk to you.
Take care.